Good morning. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. As David's time to draw to die drew near, he charged Solomon his son, saying, "I'm going the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies, according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn, and so that the Lord may carry out his promise which he spoke concerning me, saying, 'If your sons are careful of their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel.' Now, you also know what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, what he did to the two commanders of the armies of Israel, to Abner, the son of Ner, and to Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he killed. He also shed the blood of war in peace, and he put the blood of war on his belt around his waist and on his sandals on his feet. So act according to your wisdom, and do not let his gray hair go down to Sheol in peace, but show kindness to the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table, for they assisted me when I fled from Absalom, your brother. And behold, there is with you Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjaminite of Bahurim. Now it was he who cursed me with a violent curse on the day I went to Mahanaim. But when he came down to me at the Jordan, I swore to him by the Lord, saying, 'I will not put you to death with the sword.' Now therefore, do not let him go unpunished, for you are a wise man, and you will know what you ought to do to him, and you will bring his gray hair down a shoal with blood." Then David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years he reigned in Hebron, and 33 years he reigned in Jerusalem. And Solomon sat on the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was firmly established. Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and she said, "Do you come peacefully?" And he said, "Peacefully." Then he said, "I have something to say to you." And she said, "Speak." So he said, "You know that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel expected me to be king. However, the kingdom has turned about and become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. Now I am making one request of you. Do not refuse me." And she said to him, "Speak." Then he said, "Please speak to Solomon the king, for he will not refuse you, that he may give me Abishag the Shunammite as a wife." And Bathsheba said, "Very well, I will speak to the king for you." So Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah. And the king arose to meet her, bowed before her, and sat on his throne. Then he had a throne set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right. Then she said, "I am making one small request for you. Do not refuse me." And the king said to her, "Ask, my mother, for I will not refuse you." So she said, "Let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah, your brother, as a wife." And King Solomon answered and said to his mother, "And why are you asking Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him also the kingdom, for he is my older brother, even for him, for Abiathar the priest, and for Joab the son of Zeruiah." Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, "May God do so to me, and more also, if Adonijah has not spoken this word against his own life. Now therefore, as the Lord lives, who has established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who has made me a house as he promised, surely Adonijah will be put to death today." So King Solomon sent Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him so that he died. Then to Abiathar the priest, the king said, "Go to Anathoth, to your own field, for you deserve to die. But I will not put you to death at this time, because you carried the ark of the Lord God before my father David, and because you were afflicted in everything with which my father was afflicted." So Solomon dismissed Abiathar the priest of the Lord in order to fulfill the word of the Lord which he had spoken concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. Now the news came to Joab, for Joab had followed Adonijah, although he had not followed Absalom. And Joab fled to the tent of the Lord and took hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told King Solomon that Joab had fled to the tent of the Lord, and behold, he is beside the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, "Go fall upon him." So Benaniah came to the tent of the Lord and said to him, "Thus the king has said, 'Come out.' But he said, 'No, for I will die here.' And Benaniah brought the word, king word again, saying, 'Thus spoke Joab, and thus he answered me.' And the king said to him, 'Do as he has spoken, and fall upon him and bury him, that you may remove from me and from my father's house the blood which Joab shed without cause.' And the Lord will return his blood on his own head, because he fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and killed them with the sword, while my father David did not know it. Abner, the son of Ner, commander of the army of Israel, and Amasa, the son of Jether, commander of the army of Judah. So shall their blood return on their head of Joab and on the head of his descendants forever. But to David and his descendants and his house and his throne may there be peace from the Lord forever. Then Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, went up and fell upon him and put him to death, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. And the king appointed Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, over the army in his place, and the king appointed Zadok, the priest, in the place of Abiathar. Now the king sent and called for Shimei and said to him, build for yourself a house in Jerusalem and live there, and do not go out from there to any place. For it will happen on the day that you go out and cross over the brook Kidron, you will know for certain that you shall surely die. Your blood shall be on your own head. Shimei then said to the king, the word is good. As my lord the king has said, so your servant will do. So Shimei lived in Jerusalem many days. But it came about at the end of 3 years that two of his servants of Shimei ran away to Achish, son of Maacah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, behold, your servants are in Gath. Then Shimei arose and saddled his donkey and went to Gath to Achish to look for his servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. And it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and he had returned. So the king sent and called for Shimei and said to him, did I not make you swear by the Lord and solemnly warn you, saying you will know for certain that on the day you depart and go anywhere, you shall surely die? And you said to me, the word which I have heard is good. Why then have you not kept the oath of the Lord and the command which I have laid on you? The king also said to Shimei, you know all the evil which you acknowledge in your heart, which you did to my father David. Therefore the Lord shall return your evil on your own head. But King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the king commanded Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and he went out and fell upon him so that he died. Thus the kingdom was established in the hands of Solomon. Amen. So this is probably about 6 months after Solomon is installed as the new king, and David goes to be with his father. David dies. And he says something. He starts off his charge to Solomon. And you may have read this in some poetry and in different other writings in literature. It says, I'm going the way of all the earth. It's a quite a powerful statement. You know, remember, from dust we were created, from the ground, and he's going back to the earth in this way. So he gives his charge to his son, be strong, show yourself a man, walk in the ways of the Lord, all that Moses has taught us, walk according to the law. Verse 4, if your sons are careful of their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. And that was God's promise to David. But it was still a conditional promise that your men, your sons, need to walk in the way of the Lord. Now, it seems as if the next part, that David is settling grudges, but he's actually not. What he's doing is he's giving advice to his son. He's letting his son know, because Joab is a commander, there's Shimei that they have to deal with, and there's other people that they need to really be aware of that are in command. And so he's giving advice to his son, be careful of Joab. You know, be careful of these people. Now, interesting enough, he doesn't mention here Mephibosheth in this whole thing, because most likely Mephibosheth has already passed away. And so, because he's telling him be good to Barzillai, but then at the same time, he doesn't mention Mephibosheth because he's probably already passed away by the time we get to this point. And so he kind of gives him a lay of the land of, these are people in ruling, and these are people you need to be aware of, and these are people you need to be careful of. And Solomon institutes the justice that was really denied his father. In that idea of the double portion son. Remember, Solomon later on, he gets to do the very thing, the one thing that the David wanted to do so badly, was to build a house of the Lord. But Solomon gets to build it. Again, double portion son that comes about. So David dies before the Lord. But I want you to notice something. When they're spoken here, to this place, it seems to say, look at verse 6. He said, so act according to your wisdom and do not lay, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then it says it somewhere down again. And there seems to be something about Solomon already. I know that in the next chapter, we'll go through that tomorrow, but he asks God for wisdom. But seemingly, it seems that Solomon already had some wisdom in himself, as David actually points it out a few different times. And so this is an idea of there's a natural gift that's there, and then when God blesses it, it becomes supernatural in that regard. And so we can't lose sight of that. That's what God does. God takes what's natural in our lives, and he blesses it, and it becomes supernatural. Maybe you really like music, and that's a wonderful thing, and then God blesses and touches that, and it becomes an incredible blessing. Maybe you have a head for business, and you know, there's an entrepreneurial bent that you have. God touches and blesses it, and it becomes supernatural. And that's seemingly what happens with Solomon. And most likely, that's probably why David chose Solomon before his brothers Adonijah and others. He probably looked at Solomon and he said, "This guy is going to be a good king because he has been blessed with a tremendous amount of wisdom." And so you could also see Solomon's humility in the next chapter. Even though he was wise, he considered that not to be good enough to rule in Israel. And so he asked God for wisdom. But we'll get into that tomorrow. And so David sleeps, and then you see the wisdom of Solomon in action. Adonijah goes to Bathsheba, to Solomon's mom, and says, "Hey, can you do me a favor?" And he says, "What? I would like to have Abishag, the Shunammite." You remember Abishag, the Shunammite, was the wife of David. Well, was more of the caretaker of David. But in his last days, she was with him 24/7. Now, what Bathsheba doesn't understand is that Adonijah is planning a revolt right now. See, in this way, if he gets David's last wife, it gives him some kind of position or some kind of place by which to say, "Hey, you know, I'm somebody. This is my kingdom. Look, I have his wife." Remember, in the ancient Near East tradition, this was something that was very, very clear. You didn't mess with people's wives. Remember, people died in 2 Samuel because they messed with their wives and whatnot, especially the sons of David particularly. And we see how grievous that was. And so he's asking. Bathsheba doesn't catch it, but Solomon in his wisdom is very aware of what Adonijah is asking him. And so he says, "No, I'm not going to do this thing. In fact, because remember his promise or his word to Adonijah the chapter before? If you will live righteously," in other words, "if you will mind your own business and live peacefully, I'll let you live. But the moment that you rise up, you're going to die." And that's what happens. He creates this plot first with Abishag, the Shunammite. And Solomon, very aware of this, says, "Okay," takes care of it. And then he dies. And then there goes Adonijah. And then next is Abiathar. And so Abiathar, remember, he's the priest that walked with David, but unfortunately he followed Adonijah at this time. And now this is really more of a fulfillment of prophecy in that way, because when Eli, and remember his sons and everything, and the Lord spoken very clearly that your family line in terms of the altar and the holy things of God is going to cease. And so that's what happens with Abiathar and the high priest, and he is relieved of his duties. So that takes care of. And now he tends to Joab. And Joab comes, and remember if you look at this, in the wisdom of Solomon, everything that happens here is actually on their own head. Remember, he tells Adonijah, "You live in peace, you'll be peaceful. You don't, you're going to die." He sets up a plot, he's done. Abiathar, he's done. Now you have Joab. And look what Joab does. Joab goes, and he goes into the house of the Lord, and he grabs the horns. Remember, that's precisely what Adonijah did in the last chapter. He grabbed the horns of mercy, and he said, "You know, spare me, spare me." But incredibly enough, Solomon doesn't do that. Why? Because that's precisely the same stuff that happened with the other guys, with Amasa and the other captain that he murdered with Abner. They also pleaded for their life, and he killed them on the spot. And so Joab is executed at this place, and all deserving. And then now he goes into Shimeah. Now Shimeah, remember, he has had an oath with David that he would not kill him. And so Solomon, in his wisdom, goes like this: okay, so build a house, stay in the house, don't leave this area. If you leave, you're going to die. So it's on his own head that it happens. And of course, his servants leave. He goes to grab his servants. They come back and they die. And he calls them forth and he says, why did you leave? I told you that the moment you did that you were going to die. And so what does he do? He goes and he tries, obviously, to beg for his life. But look at verse 44. It says, the king also said to Shimei, you know all the evil which you acknowledge in your heart, which you did to my father David. Therefore, the Lord shall return your evil on your own head. In other words, this is what you get. You deserve this for your own fault and your own evil in this regard. And so he is executed at this time. And so, you know, by the time you get to all this happens within a 3-year period, because we know Shimei's last after 3 years. And now all the enemies and Solomon's reign has been consolidated here at this point. And now the fruitfulness of the reign of Solomon begins to happen once his enemies are done with. And so what are some takeaways from this place? One, you know, as it pertains to Abiathar, right? I mean, it's really simple. God's word will go forth and God's word will be established. You know what, when all through the scriptures where he says that his word will not return void, he said this about the house of Eli in Shiloh, and it's exactly what happens. You can survive just long enough, but eventually God's judgment and God's word will come forth. Every single one of these guys, they deserve their death. They deserve their execution in that way. And the son, Solomon, ends up being the one that goes ahead and takes care of that. Okay? Let's close our eyes. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us about these three particular men. You know, Solomon is the double portion son. Thank goodness that in this day and age that our king is not Solomon. Our king is Jesus Christ. And like we shared yesterday, and if you run to the throne room of grace, you will find mercy and grace in your time of need. These guys got what they deserved. But thankful for the cross that we get what we don't deserve. We get grace. And so even this passage is just kind of quid pro quo. Just this happens and this is a response. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us about the cross and how thankful we are. That even though we deserve death because we also have done evil and sinned against the Lord, that in return, if we ask God to forgive us, He will. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Well, let's pray that and sing.
The mountains. satisfy my soul. And I never, ever have to be afraid. It's one thing remains. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love, your love, your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love, oh, your love. In death, in life, I'm confident of the power of your great love. My debt is paid, there's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. In death, in life, I'm confident, covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid, there's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love, your love. Never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love,
let's pray this morning, huh? Let's thank the Lord for not giving up on us. Let's thank the Lord for watching over us. And you know, all of David's enemies, they got what they deserved. But thank God for the cross. Well, we get what we don't deserve, which is forgiveness and redemption. And let's go to the Lord and just thank Him. Let's go to our community prayers and let's lift up our friends and family members that are battling through cancer and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing and let's pray for spiritual healing as well. Let's pray for our community that are battling non-cancer illness, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China. Let's lift up our church, SP Beijing. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu and his family and his leaders, and the church will continue to grow and thrive under his leadership. Let's lift up the Chung family and ask God to continue to use them. They're trying to figure out the next steps for them, and especially with their visa situations. Just pray for God's leading. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents and their work. Pray for Edie Clark and her health. And let's lift up churches all over China that they would, that the gospel would be preached powerfully. Let's lift up. Let's lift up our board. Let's ask God to bless the members and just the wisdom of the Lord will be upon them. Pray protection over their families, their wives, their children, that God would continue to bless them in their home and also in the work. Just pray the favor of God would be extended to everything that they do. Just lift up our fellowship ministries, our men's ministry, our Monday morning prayer, the Pure Desire group, the men's fraternity. And for women's ministry, the Monday prayer, the discipleship group for next season. This season is already finished. And the fellowship meetings that they're having. And also the young adults, the single life workshop that will be starting soon in Yahweh Eats. Let's ask the Lord to bless these groups and there'll be real friendship and a real joy when they gather together. Let's pray for Alpha. The season is going on right now. Let's just cover all the guests that they would have an encounter with the Lord. Pray for all the volunteers and the leaders and they'll be strengthened and encouraged to keep praying and leading and they would really have the energy to lead people to Jesus. Let's lift up. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for waking us up this morning to seek your face. And I pray, God, that we would do that all day long, Lord. We ask for your favor, your blessing, God. I pray that you would help us in our work and in our school and whatever we're putting our hands to today, Lord. Let the favor of God and the blessing of God, Lord, and the glory of God be displayed. We thank you, Lord. We love you. Help us to glorify your Son, Jesus, and all that we do and say today. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.